Morning, you're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Santo Terceviat, an economist focused on the flooring business. Santo, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Kemp. How are you?
I'm good. I thought we'd talk today because you've just finished your annual publishing of the U.S. Floor Report. That's a 400-page document that gives people who make a living in the flooring industry a perspective on where things are headed, both from the economics perspective, a demographic perspective, and specifically to flooring. It's just been released. I thought we'd go through a couple highlights. You've been publishing this book for 25 years, right?
Correct. It's been a long time.
Yeah. You know what they say, too, about economists? You know, we use economists because they give us a window into the future, but they always reserve, in case they're wrong, to say, well, but on the other hand. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
Let's go into the economy first. You're talking about the fact that you don't think there's going to be a recession. Give us a couple highlights of that first area.
Obviously, with all of the uncertainty, we see the foundations of the U.S. economy being still strong. That should carry us through without a recession in the near term. The other area that we're very positive about is the fact that the issue with the tariffs aren't going to be a major issue, hopefully, within the U.S. flooring industry. It seems like they're concentrated on the big industries like autos, tech, and things like that, and less so with other industries like floor cover.
There's going to be the 10%, but the 10% could potentially be absorbed, especially since a lot of these import countries are able to make this product for lower than we can make it here, right?
That's correct. That's their big advantage. And those who come to the onshore to the United States obviously get some logistical advantages and some cheaper capital to fund their businesses. But the labor costs and the raw material costs overseas are a big advantage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see you're also calling out that houses will become smaller. When things start to turn around and interest rates get into a better area, we'll see more activity in the single family, right?
Yeah, we're already seeing a shift that way, and we're seeing the reality of smaller houses, slightly smaller, but smaller nonetheless, less floor area, and builders are reacting to the cost of everything by buying down interest rates and putting less upgrades into their homes, trying to keep the price affordable for as many people as they can.
And on demographics, you're pointing out in your publication that household growth is slowing, and that's been a concern in the developed countries like Germany and Japan, and been one of the reasons their GDP has been falling. So that's a little bit of a concern, right?
That's correct. And household growth gets into consumer spending, and consumer spending gets into employment. You know, it's a chain. And as that slows, it slows everything else down. The good thing is that consumer spending, even though it's slowing, is continuing to push the economy forward. That's always been the strength of the U.S. economy, and that's what's carrying us through to a large extent right now.
All right. So the millennials, some of them just don't want to have children, right? We need to get them to rethink that decision.
Yeah. Nobody in my family, though. I'm getting new grandchildren all the time. But yes, not only that, but they're marrying later. Everything is being pushed back.
All right. Your last section talks about flooring and how all of these demographic and economic factors are affecting flooring. Give us a quick summary of that.
Well, you know, LVT is the category killer right now, and that's going to continue to be the case. I think ceramic tile and laminate are going to see gains. Carpet and wood are going to continue to feel the pressure from the other hard surface products, like I mentioned. Prices continue to be a drag. Pricing due to inflation is a big issue now and will tail off, but will still be an issue in the future. The other area that is of concern is the consolidation that's going on. We're getting fewer larger companies, whether it's in the manufacturing side or especially on the retail side, where these big box retailers are consolidating. They're developing their own sourcing of private labels, and they're acquiring installation firms. So that's a lot of channel power going into a few companies. And so strategies need to be developed to handle what's coming down the road.
Yeah, the latest example of that is this Lowe's acquisition of ADG, which still has not been finally approved, but that's a perfect example of that.
Yeah, and Floor & Decor has always been in that area playing with the installers, the contractors, and Home Depot as well. They've been leveraging their overall contact with builders and contractors, all of them, and trying to drive more product through their channels. You know, I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And come late 26, we should start to see the freeze start to thaw and growth start to come, you know, get back to what we're used to.
So just in quick summary, you're calling for the total flooring market in 2025 to be near flat, which is better than the last 2 years because we've seen a decline. And then in 26, you're looking for a little bit of growth, slow growth, and then in 27 and beyond, a 3% growth. Is that right?
Yeah, and commercial should help push that. They're not going to make up for all the slowdown in residential, but it will help offset some of that.
Well, it is amazing that the commercial market has been resilient, and it's being driven, you know, by some energy and hospitality and healthcare and in education. So those segments are continuing to drive. And then we just saw with the Architectural Billing Index that it's still negative, but it's a lot better than it's been in the last couple of months, right?
Yeah, and we're seeing some absorption of office buildings into tech energy suppliers, AI. And I've been talking to people about conversion to residential, not so much the actual building, but a teardown, and then building using that property space to build residential units.
But also back to being used for offices. Well, at NeoCon, there were two presentations about the return to office. So that's a factor that continuing to get more energy.
Yeah. All in all, I think there are losses to camaraderie and to innovation. And I think the office provided a lot of churning on ideas and things that don't exist when you're working by yourself at home.
Right. Okay, Santo, thanks for giving us a review of this. Again, been talking to Santo Torcivia about the recently published U.S. Floor Report, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloorDaily.net.